Good morning, Your Honors.
Come on up here.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Larry Spicone appearing pro se in this matter. I have also been licensed as an attorney for 30 years.
Do you want to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, okay. Please. Your Honors, we're here talking about a judgment that was entered on July 8th, 2004, which is more than 12 years prior to today. That 2004 judgment was never renewed. As you know, there's a statute that governs enforcement of judgment. It's RCW 6.17.020. And the statute under subsection 3 makes specific reference to the original 10-year period, on the judgment. In conjunction with that, RCW 4.56210.1 says that after the expiration of the 10 years from the date of entry of any judgment, it shall cease to be a lien or charge. So there's no dispute in this case that the July 8, 2004 judgment is now expired. The soccer club has made no arguments to suggest that it has not expired. Obviously, this case has been going on quite some time. Every single milestone in this case has been more than 10 years, except for one single activity in the case that the soccer club is hanging their hat on, and that's an amended judgment from 2006. Now, the soccer club has... I found this out. I was never provided any notice of this, but they went and filed an ex parte extension on August 9th of this year. I was not given notice before. I've not been given any notice since. In preparing for this case, I looked it up and saw they applied for an extension. Well, as you know, this case is pending on appeal, and the argument has been that all the collection activities were past the 10 years, but despite the fact that this is the central issue in the case, the soccer club got that petition, not only without notice to me, but I'm assuming they did not seek the permission from this court that is required by RAP 7.2E, which indicates when a case is on appeal and the motion to the trial court would change potentially the decision on appeal, permission must be sought from the Court of Appeals. So I didn't see anything.
The 2006 judgment hadn't expired, had it?
Well, the 2006 is just an amendment, a change in the amount to the 2004 judgment.
So the new amounts in 2006 are represent a new judgment at a minimum to those amounts, don't they?
No, it's an amendment to the original judgment. Everything flows from the original judgment in this matter. Soccer club could have very easily renewed that judgment. In fact, they have provided no explanation as to why they did not renew the judgment.
So what you're saying is after obtaining an amended judgment that incorporated the amount owed in the first judgment, the soccer club could have gone back and extended the first judgment?
Yes, and they could have collected on the first judgment as well. It was a judgment that was subject to execution for a period of 10 years.
Do we have to accept your view on that in order to rule in your favor?
No, I don't believe so, because as I indicated on their attempted extension, which I understand because it was done in secret, it's probably not before this court, I don't even believe the extension was done properly either. So I don't think it's going to make any real difference in the long run. Soccer club has offered no statutory codes, case law, or any other authority to support their position. I've provided a lot of case law on the issue. They've criticized mine, but offered nothing of their own. A key case that I cited in my brief was the Vermont Supreme Court case of Ayer versus Hemingway, which presents an exact situation like this with facts that would suggest, you know, even harder to overturn. In Ayer versus Hemingway, there was a 2001 judgment, but then the parties got together 5 years later and actually stipulated to an amended judgment. The Vermont court said that the 2001 judgment is the controlling judgment for any renewal. And again, this was a stipulated amended judgment, not a contested amended judgment. Also, in Ayer versus Hemingway, Hemingway didn't even appear in the action, and the court refused to extend the judgment against him. I would also like to, and of course all in the materials, point out the case of Wolosiak versus Whirlpool, which addressed a slightly different issue, but it did address the issue of original versus amended judgment. And in that case, there was an amended judgment, or there was an original judgment, and 3 days later, it was an amended judgment with an award for attorney's fees. And the court there said that for purposes of appeal, we use the original judgment. We don't use the amended judgment. Is there any questions at this point?
Currently not. Do you want to save your remaining?
Yeah, I'll save my other minutes.
Okay, you'll have 4 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Justices. May it please the Court. My name is Brian Lawler of the Jamison Babbitt Stites & Lombard firm, and I'm honored to appear on behalf of the Washington State Youth Soccer Association. I think you probably understand that this has been a long road for the association. The association itself is an umbrella organization for about 120,000 youth of our state who play soccer, and the organization promotes those efforts. Most of the kids are recreational players, but we have programs for kind of the select and developmental players. We have programs for the disabled called our Top Soccer Program. We have a program
that's
that...
That's okay. We understand.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. So kind of the premise of this case is what I call a fiction. Exactly 10 years ago today, on September 29, 2006, the association took a judgment against Mr. Spicoini. It was the second judgment it had taken against him, but it took a judgment in front of Judge Hugh. According to RCW 16-17-020, sub 1, any judgment is enforceable for a period of 10 years from the entry of the judgment. So our analysis is, this is the judgment we are trying to enforce, and we started to enforce it formally a year ago and informally before that, but formally a year ago. And Mr. Spicoini has objected.
If that judgment was enforced, and if the amount obtained was equivalent to the amount owed on the judgment, then that judgment would be satisfied, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And would the satisfaction of that judgment also, as a matter of law, satisfy whatever claim there might have been under the first judgment?
Under the merger doctrine, that's correct. Yes. So here we are today. Mr. Spicoini has objected to our efforts to enforce what we think is a legitimate judgment still in effect at the time that we started enforcement last year.
Let me ask you the corollary question. If you had sought to enforce the judgment and identified that judgment for some reason as having been the first judgment, and it obtained an amount equivalent to the amount owing only on the first judgment, then the first judgment would have been satisfied. But would the amended judgment have been fully satisfied?
I haven't thought about that, Your Honor. But I guess my sense of that is if the amount owed is paid, the judgments are satisfied.
Owed on the original judgment would be less than the amount owed on the amended judgment.
I may have misunderstood your question. If Mr. Spicoini had paid...
Enforcing the amended judgment, if successful, results in a satisfaction of all judgments entered.
That is correct.
But the opposite is not true.
That is correct as well, because the 2006 judgment added a substantial amount of what I would call new money or new damages, approximately $23,000.
Did the court make clear in that second judgment that it was superseding the first one?
It does not say that. I can't find that in there one way or the other.
No. In the limitation on enforcement of judgments, the legislature chose a 10-year term. It also allowed renewal.
Correct.
But it doesn't allow renewal at any time during the 10 years, as I recall. It's in a small window right before expiration.
Correct. It's 90 days before expiration, which, to go to a side point, which is why we've renewed the 2006
isn't
judgment
the effect of what you're arguing that by going into the court and asking for additional fees, you can extend the life of a judgment without waiting for the statutory period to extend that judgment?
That's correct. And I don't, on a related note, I don't think we could have gone into court 90 days before the expiration of the 2004 judgment and purported to extend the entire judgment, because the statute says it has to be 90 days before the expiration.
You could have, in 2006, taken a new judgment only for the new amounts of money and had two separate judgments to enforce, both equally enforceable, each having its own 10-year statute. By combining them, haven't you, in effect, attempted to go around the 10-year, the limitation on when you can extend the collection period on the original judgment?
I don't think there was any effort to get around anything back in 2006.
I said, in effect, aren't
okay.
you
yes.
doing that?
Yes, in the sense that the 2006 judgment contains two components, the amount from 2004 and the amount from 2006. Our belief was that the 2006 judgment basically revived, became a unitary document and was governed by a single 10-year time period.
You found nothing in the statutes that told you that you couldn't do that, I take it.
I can find nothing in the statute or in the jurisprudence of Washington. I find nothing in his cases that remotely goes there. And
when you did obtain the amended judgment in 2006, did Mr. Spokoni have notice of that event?
Oh, not only did he have notice, he contested it vigorously, and he raised new arguments as to why the judgment should not be entered.
Did he raise the particular argument that he's making today?
He did not.
Thank you.
Is there any public policy that would favor having lawsuits end in multiple judgments as opposed to having lawsuits end in an integrated judgment?
Our sense is that it's more efficient for the parties and the courts to have a single judgment that
and title companies and others who engage in commercial society and want to determine whether or not people have obtained judgments for or had judgments levied against.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Would you care to comment on something that Mr. Spokoini just appeared to raise something about that happened in August? Did you wish to say anything about that?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I was going to but got distracted. So on this issue of the 10-year period, if under RCW 617.020, the 2006 judgment has a 10-year life. That 10-year life would expire today, actually, but for a renewal. There's a window for renewal under RCW 617.030, and that requires you to renew within 90 days of the expiration date. So within the last 90 days, Washington State Youth Soccer has filed a renewal, and the renewal process in King County is an ex parte process. It's not a formal adversarial motion process that would require you to note a motion and give notice to the other side. And finally, there's no stay pending in this matter, so we did not believe that there was any constraint on us exercising our statutory right of renewal. Mr. Spokoni could have asked for a stay of proceedings, in which case we would have either opposed it or carved out, asked for an exception to preserve the validity of our judgment time period.
Is there any distinction to be made between a document labeled judgment and one labeled amended judgment in terms of what the effective date of the judgment is?
That's an excellent question. I have looked for that and in our state, and I haven't really found it. The only places we saw it are in the cases, and we didn't really feature them in our brief, but back when we were initially dealing with Mr. Spokoni a year ago and he was objecting to our efforts to enforce, he raised the same issue, and we found jurisprudence in both California and Hawaii that supported our position. And we submitted those cases to the trial court. We don't know the extent to which the trial court relied upon them, so I really didn't feature them very much in our brief. But they're in the record here. I made a reference to them in my brief, and I indicated where in the clerk's papers those cases are. But those cases in California and Hawaii support our position.
He really wouldn't have needed to apply for a stay. He simply could have superseded the judgment and by posting a supersedious bond.
Yes.
And that would have precluded you from enforcing on the judgment while this was pending.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But having showed no eagerness to pay the judgment, there wasn't any eagerness to post a bond to secure it.
That's an understatement. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah.
So Mr. Cipone has cited six cases, five Washington and the Vermont case. He relies most heavily on the Vermont case, so let me just quickly address that in my remaining seconds. That's a case where there was basically no new judgment, no new damages, no new money when the parties stipulated to an amendment of the judgment. It was to set forth a payment plan. So that, to me, is very distinguishable than our case, where the 2006 judgment is really a new judgment because we have received relief on new claims against him.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Spokane, you've got 4 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The amendment judgment really didn't serve any legal effect in this matter. As you know, judgments change amounts daily. There's interest. And in this case, with 12% interest on an amount that they're claiming of plus $100,000, there's pretty major dollar changes in this judgment every day. As long as I've been an attorney, you always figure out the judgment amount. You calculate the interest manually or whatever's in there. The award of attorney's fees on appeal would have automatically been part of the original judgment. I don't think there's any question. If I was here today...
Well, how could they be part of the original judgment if they hadn't been incurred at the time the original judgment was entered?
But they get added to the amount of the original judgment because they're all part of
which
the same
case. Which creates an amended judgment.
Right, which relates back to the original.
Well, that's the $64 question, whether or not it relates. How does something that happens after an occurrence necessarily relate back to the date of that occurrence?
Well, it's all part of the same occurrence. It's just an appeal.
Well, it's not. You hadn't acted wrongfully. At the time of the entry of the original judgment, you hadn't acted wrongfully in pursuing the appeal at that time. So your wrongful action after the entry of the original judgment is what prompted the later award of damages, which then were added to the original judgment in the amended judgment. But certainly there could have been no penalty for you acting wrongfully prior to you having acted wrongfully.
But that avoids the very real situation, which is that half of that amended judgment is from the original judgment, and that part's passed. So I don't think there could be any... I mean, you could say that the 2006 is a separate judgment. It's not denominated as such or indicated anywhere that it's a separate judgment, including in the court dockets.
But it was entered in 2006.
It could have been entered any year.
And the statutes, and there's actually four of them. You fellows talked about two. There's actually four out there. They all talk about the same time period. And they all talk about the date of entry. So if something's entered in 2006, why isn't it measured from 2006? That's the question for us.
Because you don't want to have a sliding timeline. Because obviously that 2006...
Why not?
Because then you don't have any finality to measure
sure
the 10-year period.
As soon as you stopped acting wrongfully, then you had a decade in which the judgment could be enforced against you. If you continued to act wrongfully, then the time period that you were exposed to a civil lawsuit and enforcement thereon continued. That's not a remarkable proposition.
Right, but that's only true if it's a new judgment. And if it's a new judgment, it's not a 2006 judgment. Because From the Court of Appeal.
Do any of the statutes use the term new?
Well, yes, he uses original 10-year period. That's exactly the language in RCW 6.17020.
But that's in reference to what? That's in reference to the extension.
It's the original, right, to making an extension on an original.
So, we're trying to determine what the 10-year period is,
right,
and when it come out.
But I want to point out, there's nothing in the statute or any case law that says that you could extend a judgment by an amendment. And that this is what the soccer club is arguing, but there's no support for that anywhere in any Washington case law, statutory authority, or otherwise.
As I sometimes tell my law clerk, sometimes the case you're looking for is the one you're working on.
I agree, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
We're going to take the first case, State versus Ontiveros.